This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 219. If you do it right, it only takes one whack. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best,
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I hope that you're having the start of a great week. I see good things in your future.
Oh my god, are you Miss Cleo now?
No, because that lady was Bumbaclot, okay? Like, for real.
Bumbaclot.
She was Bumbaclot, like, in her brain case. Seriously. Okay, me, I'm more like Dionne Warwick's Psychic Friends Network. Like, sometimes you might call and you get some uplifting news, but more times that you don't. But you know what's uplifting always as far as news goes?
Our website.
That's right, the stuff that's on it. So make sure that you visit us on the web at www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is
esh.co. That's esh.co. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, I don't even want to talk to you right now.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? If you subscribe in iTunes, first of all, it's a free podcast. So right there, it's yummy and yummy goodness for your ear holes. But on top of that, by subscribing, you will get the episode in its entirety the moment we put it out on the interwebs for consumption. I mean, that's instant gratification for your nerd. Do it for your nerd.
And I mean, if you really don't want to do that, you can still plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But be looking out for the other shows that fly underneath the Esh banner.
That's right. We're not the only thing that exists in the land of Esh. So make sure that you're checking out some of the other venues and avenues of awesomeness that we have. For instance, while our show comes out every single Monday, hot, poppin' fresh, because it's awesome, on Tuesdays, there's a brand new episode of the Boston Bash Brigade podcast, which just happens to be co-hosted by our own King Baby Duck, and they talk about all kinds of stuff, music, movies, pop culture, nerd, sports. I don't think there's anything they don't talk about. I mean, they talk about gaming stuff, too, and anime stuff, so if you want something from a more beefy perspective.
Haha, sausage fest, maybe. Sausage. There's a lot more sausage in B3.
There's a lot more sausage than taco. So make sure that you check that out, because it's hella funny. And they're on Ustream, too, so if you want to get a good look at what's going on, you should totally check that out as well. On Wednesday, there's a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which is co-hosted by our very own Deuces Wild, who is the man. I heart Deuce. If you don't know them, you should definitely check them out, because they talk about all kinds of stuff. More gadgets, definitely mobile, as well as PC gaming. I mean, just gaming all over the place. It's just, it's hot, awesome.
Geek demonium.
It is geek demonium. Thank you, Pandalicious. That was the word that I was looking for that I could not find.
It just came to my brain hole.
You have an awesome brain hole.
At least today.
Yeah. Sometimes. But those aren't the only things that are going on in the land of Esh. There's some moving and shaking coming about, and hopefully I'll be able to tell you about it real soon.
Shake, shake, shake. Do you know what that is? You don't, but we do.
Yeah, we know what it is. That's right. Shake them up, shake them up, shake them up, shake them. And to keep your nerd going for the rest of the week, well, there's all the stuff that we write about on our respective websites, which you can find all conveniently located in one place at landofesh.com, or you can also interact with us through Twitter. We like that. We've got videos that we post on our YouTube channel, which is awesome. And thanks to you guys, we finally have our custom URL on Facebook where you can ask us all kinds of questions, just anything that pops into your mind during the week, and we'll get back to it. So that's just facebook.com/landofesh.
But don't think that it's over, because you guys can still, you know, be a fan of Land of Esh.
That's right.
So don't stop just because we got our vanity.
No, we want to grow the land of Esh. You make this place the awesome that it is. So tell your friends, tell your folk, Run tell your pets. Yeah, you can tell your pets. And if your pets have a Facebook page, they should probably like us as well.
Since they probably listen to us during the week when you're cleaning or feeding them.
Pretty much. Your pets like us.
Well, we hope so.
No, they do. They email me.
They don't email. They like you, then. I don't get any bark, bark, woof, woof, meow, meow. Oink.
Oink.
There are some people who have pet pigs.
Potbelly pigs are really adorable, by the way. And they're very clean.
And then when you get old, you get tired of it, you can cut it up and eat it for bacon.
No, don't eat the potbelly pig.
Why?
It was your pet. You can't eat something that you give a name to. That's not fair.
That's not exactly true.
That's another podcast. All right, so anyway, there are lots and lots of different ways that you can interact with us. But let's get off of that tangent that we started. Last piece I got to remind you of, our magazine, new issue is in layout. It will be on sale shortly. It's going to be the hotness. We got some really, really cool things in there. Definitely some opinion pieces. There's some fanfic in there. It's awesome. It's awesome. Okay, I've seen it. It's awesome. I would buy that. And you know, I'm cheap, so...
And she admits it.
Stop it! Stop it! You know what I meant. I don't part with my money easily.
Right.
That's what I mean to say.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I will hit you. You will not like that.
I won't.
No. No, you won't.
You guys know what she meant.
Anyway.
You know what she said,
Stop it. You're instigating shit. I will.
But you know what I think.
With the pimp hand. It will hurt.
I know. You're wearing that ring, too.
Exactly. It will leave a mark upon you.
I don't want any more marks on my ninja face.
You will be stained with the mark of ninja.
Okay, that's a little gross. Stain to me? That's gross, dude.
You know what?
Pump the brakes.
Can we... Put it in reverse. Bag it up. All right. We've had a little bit of sugar.
No, really?
Just a tiny bit. Skosh. Skoshes.
What is with that word?
I like that word.
Is it an actual word?
Or yeah, it's a Japanese word.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. I will Wikipedia that and show it to you at some point
after
in time.
The show.
Yeah, it's awesome. I fucking love the internet. All right, let's get to the goods. Because this podcast, it's not just about tangents.
No, but it does make up about 85% of the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Usually.
Well,
on a good day.
On a good day, it's like 88.2%. Tangent. But... today, we're going to aim to not be one of those days.
Well, we've already kind of fucked that up.
Only a little bit, but we can bring it back. We can turn this ship around.
All right? Okay, let's do it.
All right, we can do that. We've got game stuff to talk about. We've got anime stuff to talk about. We've got stuff to talk about. I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 truths. Because the next 2 weeks, really, the next 3 weeks... are kind of insane for gamers.
Yeah.
Okay? This week, we've got Rock Band 3 dropping. We've got Fable 3 dropping.
Woo!
We've got DJ Hero 2.
Woo!
Okay? And I'm sure there's some other shit dropping, too. I mean, I'm sure Nintendo has something
coming
out of the week.
Dare I say Nerd Dance Party?
I thought Nerd Dance Party drops the week launch. Dance Central. Because that's totally Nerd Dance Party.
Well, that's synchronized choreography. I just meant nerd music party.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, pretty much. It's a nerd party.
Nerd
it's a nerdgasm.
Party.
It's a nerdgasm.
For your ear holes.
It's for everything.
Yeah.
Okay? But it was really interesting to me because I was looking at, you know, all the stuff that I had pre-ordered and looking at my check and going, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, because there's, like, nothing left. It's so sad. It hurts my wallet.
And her check's bigger than mine, so you can only imagine.
It does. It really hurts the wallet. Like, it cries, and it weeps, and it says ninja please.
Your wallet never has a problem losing weight.
It doesn't. Ever. My wallet's kind of anorexic right now. I really need it to, like, go into an intervention and, to get healthy, because it's not... I'm concerned.
I'm really concerned.
Well, no, because it's not your wallet.
Exactly.
But, you know, I started looking really at pre-orders and going, okay, I've been ridiculous here. I need to step this back. So which are the one or ones that are going to have to wait, like, to the check after that? Or maybe even the check after that check, you know? And it really started making me think, because most of the games I had pre-ordered the collector's editions of. Okay. Now, as you know, I am a completist snob when it comes to collector's editions or limited editions. I love them. I love art books that accompany a game because I like to see where the inspiration comes from. So even if the game sucks, I feel like I got some of my money's worth. Because okay. I've been led into, like, the secret society of how and why, you know, a character evolved from one look to another, or an idea for a story started here, and then it got changed midway through, and what those influences were. You know, I find that to be interesting, and I feel like I'm being let into the creative process of this final product that I have in my hand. Yeah, but it's not
completely exclusive, because anybody else who gets a collector thing is going to have the exact same experience.
Right, so I don't feel like I'm part of, like, a
secret society.
Right. I just feel like I'm part of the team a little bit.
But you're not
part
getting of the paid process. For it?
Right. So I'm like an intern.
Wow. You know, there are some interns that get paid.
Yeah. Interns should always be paid. Don't listen to anybody else. Interns should always be paid. If you're doing work for somebody, you need to get paid. Because guess what? Cheese ain't cheap anymore. So you got to get that money.
Government cheese.
Hey, don't knock government cheese, all right?
I'm not. Government cheese is delicious.
All right. That's some yumminess for, you know,
your tummy hole.
Yeah, really. But I started thinking, you know, are collector's editions and limited editions really worth it? Because it seems like now, looking at companies that are releasing games, they're just throwing basically extra incentives and calling it a limited edition or a collector's edition, and it maybe not necessarily adding a lot of value, but it is upping the price of the SKU. You know, so is the
SKU should be cheap.
Well, it's not that SKU should be cheap, but, you know, let's put it like this, okay? If I was to go and buy a copy of just Rock Band 3 by itself, not bundled with a peripheral or anything like that, for Xbox 360... Okay, the title by itself will cost me about $59.99.
Yep.
Okay, you probably go to Walmart and get it for $54, blah, blah, blah. But who gives a shit? Okay, we're talking $60, all right? So let's just call it that. Okay? You bundle that game with a peripheral now, which they've created the new keyboard peripheral, which you can get with Mad Catz in partnership with them. They've also created a Mad Catz Pro Guitar, which has the multi-button on the neck and strings on the strum area, but that's $150. So you partner that with the title, you're now looking at $200 for the game and the peripheral, where when the game first released, that same $200, I think it might have been $250, got you a drum kit, a guitar, a microphone, and the game. So we're looking now at bundles that cost
more, but have less.
Right. And I know that Harmonix is basically going, look, if you jumped in at Rock Band or Rock Band 2, you already have, we hope, a drum and a guitar and another guitar for playing bass and a mic.
And if we seriously, seriously want you to, you know, really be investing in any peripherals, hopefully you've upgraded that drum kit to an Ion.
Right, which I have, I love my Ion drum kit.
Didn't they have a bass that had the two separate
fingers? Yeah, Mad Catz made a pro bass that had a split finger strum bar, which you can still get. And Harmonix themselves will be releasing at some point in time in the future that Black Fender, fully stringed, fully realized electric guitar that you'll be able to use for Rock Band 3, and have yet to release pricing on that. While Rock Band itself doesn't have a collector's edition, you know, I'm treating the bundled
in
the same category,
that.
You know, is the value really there?
Well, let's see. I mean, keyboard, completely different peripheral.
Don't get me wrong, I want it.
We've got a new peripheral, they're not, you know, bashing us over the head with another drum kit. Because, I mean, they could throw all that back in there.
Right.
Even though a lot of people, like you said, already have them. So why re-dish out stuff that, you know, avid players of the genre would already have. Or not have upgraded to something better by the time the 3 came out.
Right.
So why not introduce something new? And then on top of that, with a pro guitar, where, you know, now you're not just hitting color nodes, you're actually strumming and learning the basics on how to play an instrument.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think the value is a little different because of what they're doing. I mean, keyboards, also learning keys now instead of just color nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's learning value that now has to be assessed.
Okay. Well, I agree with you on that because it is definitely kind of taking that really bridging step between faking playing music and actually playing music. And I applaud Harmonix and MTV Games for that because that is just freaking cool.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have kids, but if I had kids, my kids would be playing that.
And I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I can go back to when MTV did that. What was it? It was like a music generator.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of that.
It was the MTV music generator.
And I remember that. It's like, oh man, it's playing music. And now look at what playing music in a video game looks like.
Right.
I mean, wow. Just
you went what from a jump. Basically a
loop kit to yep. peripherals
mm-hmm.
of actual instruments. I mean, the progression is definitely progressed.
Obviously. Yeah, you know, and I take my hat off because it's ingenious. And I think that they've done it the right way. The fact that, you know, your entire catalog of DLC that you already have will be playable, you know, from day one is great. If you do pre-order Rock Band 3, however, or you get it within the first week of launch, they are allowing people to download the Doors track pack for free.
Cool.
Which I think is really cool because, especially if you've got that keyboard peripheral, you want to be playing the Doors music. You want to be playing Light My Fire. You have to play that. You know. Okay. Well, so I think we both decided that there's a different kind of added value with
in
Rock
this
Band 3
scenario
for this scenario.
But the general, generalization of getting the same same price for lesser value in terms of. You know, collectibles or, you know, paraphernalia.
Peripherals.
Collectible memorabilia.
Memorabilias. Yes.
But, I mean, that can still stand to reason with any other collection, you know.
All right.
So, I mean, that's a special case, I think.
So let me throw another one at you.
Okay.
All right. This one's also going to be in the music genre.
Memorabilias.
Okay. DJ Hero 2.
Okay.
It drops on the 22nd.
Well, this is your time.
No, it's not.
Rhythm music.
It's the one that I dropped.
Okay.
And it hurt me in my soul because you know.
Well, let's look at it.
I love DJ Hero.
So DJ Hero.
My shit. I have the soundtrack in my car.
If it was a person, I would totally hit on it. But let's look here. Okay.
I would buy it a drink.
Well, yes, that doesn't surprise me.
I'd buy it too, actually, get it real liquored up.
And then you'd rub on it.
I'm not saying that.
She would rub on it.
I'm not saying that.
I can neither confirm nor deny. You like that, baby?
Stop it. You were making a point, and I distracted you.
Yes.
I apologize.
So, I mean, okay. So, DJ Hero.
Yeah.
Peripheral.
DJ Hero 2.
Right, but I'm going one.
Okay,
gave us turntable. Brand new peripheral.
Yep.
So at the time when that dropped, and then, of course, with the Renegade set, stand up.
Yeah, I love the Renegade. And that's what I did. I bought the Renegade. So
yeah.
And that
makes sense because I don't know about a lot of you, but if you go and you get the actual, you know, standard, you know, it's kind of hard to do it sitting.
Yeah, you can't.
It's really worth doing standing up.
And it's just wrong.
So, I mean, Renegade set. Thought that was great value because
yep.
you got a stand.
You got the M&J Jay-Z CD, which if you didn't have the tracks already from those artists in your library, you know, it was a nice added value. I mean, the case is great. It's, you know, really fairly sturdy and hefty for really what you paid for it. I was kind of surprised. Like, I really thought it was going to come off a little bit on the cheesy side, but it didn't.
It doesn't.
Not at all.
It doesn't. So, I mean, now going forward with the new one, what are we getting new from DJ Hero 2?
Okay, so you have the two turntables and a microphone option. So, with DJ Hero 2, they've added in the ability to do vocal.
Okay.
And
but why do we need two turntables?
Well, because they've changed multiplayer. So, before multiplayer was pretty much just score challenge.
Right, battle.
Yep. They've added more modes in, and you have some more control, and there's some freestyle things that you could do. So, they've change that piece of the gameplay, so it's definitely more entertaining and more inclusive in this go round because now you have the option for three people playing at a time.
Okay.
As opposed to two. They've changed the ad hoc, so, you know, you can have three people going, and let's say somebody's got to pee. Okay, they can put their piece on free play, and it'll just play for them while they go out and pee, and the, you know, the score thing goes away. So it allows itself to be more social than the first version. The first version of the game, I really think, was a little bit intimidating.
No, really?
Yes. Because it really was a genre of music, you know, and a, what's the word I'm looking for? Style of music with the turntablism, because it was a turntable peripheral, that if you weren't already versed in the turntablism culture, or you weren't already versed in mashup, and you didn't listen to any of the artists at all that were used in mashup, like, not everybody knows who Dizzy Rascal is, not everybody knows who NASA is, you know, and so a lot of people couldn't make that initial connection, so it was difficult to find the audience, because they were putting together these two really super niche audiences and making a super
baby
niche audience. And I think this go around, because they've implored, you know, a lot more pop music and a lot more known artists while still keeping the niche guys happy, because there's Deadmau5 in there, which makes me ecstatic.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I think that they have a better chance, especially making it more of a three-player possible social as opposed to, you know, one or two. I think that that's different. But here's the deal as far as the pre-order or special collector's edition or whatever. The pre-order option was a Puma bag to carry your turntable in.
Shit, Puma.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about Puma.
Like, yeah.
In the subcocal area of my heart, I got love for it. And some exclusive tracks by Deadmau5.
Well, okay, so I can definitely see why you would want to strongly
invest. Which is why I originally did, but after reviewing some of the other things that I had pre-order, you know, I decided that it's the one that could wait.
Right.
Okay. And that's really surprising to me.
Yeah, surprising to me too.
But, you know, out of all the things that I had on pre-order, it really had the least offering. Because those tracks that it dropped, okay, they're not going to be exclusive for long. I mean, Deadmau5 is going to be a huge draw. So you know they're going to be available as DLC at some point in time, which means I'm going to be able to get it. I'm just going to have to pay for it.
Right.
Okay? So that's really not killer. And the Puma bag is nice, but it's a messenger bag type thing with the Puma logo on it.
I like Puma.
I do too, but I got plenty of messenger bags.
Yeah.
So it's not going to kill me to not have a messenger bag, especially because I don't need the extra turntable. You have a turntable, I have the Renegade set. So, as far as the pre-order goes, I'm good. And it's going to work with any of the microphones that you have for previous games, which means I'm good on mics as well.
Yeah.
So
there's really no added value in that set for you.
And I'm wondering, of the people who bought the original game and love this game, is there or was there pre-order value for them? Like, I would be really curious to know.
In the case of that, it would probably have more value if there was more than one gamer who was a lover of this genre of music and this lifestyle in their home.
Right.
Like, if you're living by yourself, then
you're
you
not
going to
get
three
two turntables in a mic.
No, because if you got the first one, that makes three. So you're not going to need three turntables and maybe the fifth microphone, because I'm sure they probably played Rock Band or Guitar Hero or Band Hero before that. So, I mean, it would just matter if it was, you know, a loner who then all of a sudden got a girlfriend.
Right.
And he moved in with his girlfriend and her roommate, who happens to like games. Then it'd be convenient.
Then it would almost be a porno.
It could very well be. That's their business.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm just saying. Right. So, I mean, it would really depend on the demographic in the gamer's house setting.
Well, I'm just going to be really curious to see if, you know, that bundle is going to sell really well.
We'll find out.
I want to know the numbers. Okay. All right. So another example. Let's talk Fable 3.
Okay.
All right. So Fable 3 is a pre-order that I kept.
I have my reservation at my local GameStop.
Okay. So now Fable 3, I did the collector's edition. And I'm going to tell you why. Again, I like art books.
They're the kind of books you don't have to read.
No, I do like to read them, though. But I like to look at the pretty pictures. I like to look at them. I like to look. But I got the pre-order because I felt like there was a bunch in the pre-order, in the collector's edition, for the money. Because the collector's edition of Fable 3 is $100.
Okay.
Okay? You can get it at GameStop, you can get a pre-order at Walmart, and you can get a pre-order from Amazon. Okay? If you get the pre-order, and this is the only thing I hate about the pre-order, and, you know, maybe this is something that we talk about, too. The pre-order from Amazon gives you the village maker thing. So you can build somebody before the game ships, and then you can import your villager, and they'll show up in your game. Which I thought was kind of cool. You know, as a way of tiding you over until the game actually came out. But also giving you something to do where you can kind of get a look and glimpse of what the world is going to be like as far as Albion goes in Fable 3 before it launches. And then take that creation and actually have it be present, you know, and you run into it in your world in playing the game. Like, I thought it was a neat little mechanic. That alone, as a bonus, wouldn't have made me do the collector's edition. But they added in the art book. They added in a behind-the-scenes DVD. They added in a card set of all the characters, the major characters that appear in the game, very much in the style of some of the parchment and letters in Albion, which I thought was a neat little thing.
Very invested.
You know, definitely if you're gonna, you know, if you play poker, wouldn't suck to use, and you know, not only play poker, but show off your nerd.
Oh, gosh, you have a Fable game night. Like, you know, you come up dressed old century and pretty much hit on everybody and have lots of sex.
The packaging itself is designed to look like a book, so it looks like you're opening up one of the history books of Albion that you used to be able to collect in the game.
Right.
And I say used to because I'm not sure if that's still one of the game mechanics in the game or not.
We'll find out.
I'll find out this week. But the thing that pissed me off was, and a lot of companies are doing this of recent dates and times and releases, and it's really pissing me off, is that the pre-order from GameStop gets one set of exclusive, blah, 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 blah. The pre-order at another store gets one set of exclusive, blah, 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 blah. And really all I want is a collector's edition that has exclusives, really, just for me, regardless of where I get it. I understand they're trying to give people an incentive to go to GameStop and get something, or incentive to go to Walmart, or incentive to go to whatever other big store partner that the developers worked with, but it's really a pain in the ass to have to sit there going, okay,
what do I want more?
Do I want the hammer weapon, or do I want the axe weapon, or do I want the additional maps? Do I want the full easy armor? Maps. You know, like
that's easy maps.
You know, so I'm just like, this bitches. Can we please just agree to give me a bunch of shit exclusively for coming up out of pocket early for this game so I can increase your launch day numbers and be done with it? Because I'm really getting tired of having to go, okay, well, let me see what version Amazon has. Okay, now let me see what version Best Buy got. Oh, wait, let me check out, because for whatever reason, Buy.com has a special. Like, who the fuck?
Who the hell is Buy.com?
No, I know who Buy.com is, but why the fuck would you do a pre-order bundle special something or shit for Buy.com? Because I don't think anybody really remembers Buy.com. They're just kind of hanging on. Exactly. You know, so it was really, really upsetting to me. I ended up going with Amazon, and the thing that killed it for me for Amazon, which is why I typically do all of my pre-orders through Amazon, is that they only charge you $1 for release day delivery.
Okay.
Okay. If I want that game to me on release day, I have always found that I have to pay extra for the overnight shipping, because if I tell GameStop that I want it on the release day, if I don't pick that and I just go with the regular shipping, I don't get it release day. I don't care what they say, their website, they can suck my cock. Well, my virtual one. It really pisses me off.
They can suck my actual cock. My rooster.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do have that statue. I always forget. Because I was just looking at you like, what?
Hello, perverts.
What?
Thinking Panda had an actual penis.
What? But I'm to the point where I'm reconsidering the collector's edition. And it sucks because I really like them. Like, I've got the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood pre-order collector's edition. And again, you know, I went with it because, one, art book. That's important. Okay? They give you a little tchotchke. All right, so the one for bric-a-brac?
Okay.
Okay. Because you gave me that look like...
I was like...
What?
I'm like, that's a different word.
Yeah, tchotchke. Bric-a-brac. Yes. Caboodle.
Caboodle.
Knick-knack.
Anyway. I loved my caboodle. That man, that thing was a shit.
The caboodles were kind of awesome.
Man, I wish they'd bring those shits back.
You could put, like, all kinds of shit in a caboodle.
And you could hide your weed.
No! Because illegal narcotics are wrong, and you never hid weed, and nobody ever hid weed. Okay, there's no weed in the land of Esh. Yeah, I said it. Let's move on.
You can hide your Microsoft points?
You can hide your Microsoft points in a caboodle.
In a caboodle? And cannolis? Not but that you want them that long because you
want
to eat
Not
those.
At all. You don't and, want that. You really don't want that.
And your extra batteries.
Yeah.
For your
controllers. But the extra tchotchke knick-knack.
Bric-a-brac.
Caboodle. In the Assassin's Creed Brotherhood special edition is a jack-in-the-box. But it's a jack-in-the-box of a special character, okay? And depending upon where you get your pre-order from, you get to choose between the new doctor character, because in Brotherhood, you get to actually recruit other types of, and play other types of characters. So they introduce the Harlequin, they introduce the doctor, they introduce the courtesan.
Is that the other jack-in-the-box? With her big boobies?
No, you don't. No, that would be a Jill-in-the-box.
Not necessarily. Jack-in-the-box only come up halfway. Just okay. Saying.
Pervert.
Just, oh, you weren't, come on.
All right, so maybe I was. Anyway, which I thought was interesting, but then once again, now if you get the pre-order from GameStop, you can choose between the Harlequin jack-in-the-box and the Dr. Jack-in-Box. But if you get it from Amazon, you're just gonna get, I think, the Harlequin. I can't remember now, and I should have
written
it down.
See, and now that I know that, I'd want the doctor. I would have wanted the doctor.
But like I said, the art book, the jack-in-the-box. You get two exclusive maps.
Awesome. See, maps.
Yep. That you can play as far as multiplayer goes.
I was about to say, because maps should be playable.
Then you also get a printed map of Rome, which is a strategy map, which will show you where some things that will lead to some achievements, at least on the Xbox 360 side, will kind of guide you there, which is the strategy map of Rome. And then there's a making of DVD. So you get all that for $100. Plus, obviously, the game. So when you start breaking that down and you compare that with the Fable one, you get a lot of stuff if you're interested in that kind of stuff. You get basically the game, a tchotchke, some in-game stuff, and a behind-the-scenes kind of deal. And they add $40 onto the price.
Now, see, this one's kind of tough. Because if you're a person who likes to have, if you like to have a lot of physical things that really just enhance your gamer space,
mm-hmm.
then I could see where the investment is. Or if you have like a cubicle at your job that you need to fill, or an office, Ninja, with your bare office.
My office does.
Then this might be ideal. But for someone like me, who, you know, my room's already filled with shit. Anime shit, gamer shit.
And then some manga shit.
And then some stuffed pandas. Not everywhere, but...
There's lots of stuffed pandas.
In all general four directions, there is a panda.
Leftover food shit.
A lot of panda cheese. There is no more leftover food. I threw that out.
Yay! Yay!
But regardless, going back to that, I don't have a lot of space for any new stuff. I know when I got... I'd gotten the Soul Calibur collector edition that gave me that tin... Mm-hmm. With the additional little gamer book that showed you more character designs. And also gave me a t-shirt of Ooh, nice. Siegfried.
Siegfried.
Which I then wore when I repainted my room. So it's got purple splashes all over it, actually, right now. So it's a shirt. I'm going to use it for what you do for shirts. You wear them. You know, I wasn't like, oh my god, I'm going to keep this pressed and never wear it because it's a collect. No, it's a shirt. If it gets cold in the winter and I have no clothes, guess what? I'm wearing the shirt.
Right, but see, here's my question to you about the collector's edition. On top of, you know, really if the value's there or not, do you think that gamers really leave the collector's edition alone to really increase in value at all, or actually use all their stuff in their collector's edition?
I think it depends on the kind of gamer. I mean, there are some people who are very meticulous who have been collect, you know, people who collect action figures and never take them out of the case. I mean, that's a personal thing.
That's not a game thing, though. Those are different type of people.
Yes, but
I'm talking about gamers. So there might be
some gamers who have a collector niche and might collect,
I think action figure collector, okay, is different than video game collector's edition collector.
I don't know. I know a particular person who, when collector's editions comes out, he buys two. One that he never opens and one that he opens and plays with. So it depends on the person.
But do you think the majority...
I think the majority of them...
Of the gamer community.
Decorate their gamer space in all things game. So they use it in their gamer space.
Okay.
Or any space that they could put it in and not be like, hey, you can't have this here.
Which really kind of sort of defeats the collector's edition piece of it. Because, as we all know, once it comes out the packaging...
It loses its value.
Right.
But then there might be that, on the extreme side of that, someone who goes and buys two, so they have one that's untampered with... preserves its value, and then one that they completely use the fuck out of.
Right.
So, I mean, so there's an extreme to each case.
Because I've, you know, think about it.
But if we did the bell curve, I would say the majority of people who get collector's editions will use everything, or will go through everything in
Well, I mean, like, case. Think about the collector's editions, or the limited editions of stuff like that you have.
Like, well, I use mine, and I actually don't have a lot of them. Mm-hmm. In terms of me, like, I mean, I did get the Soul Calibur one, but that's also because I like t-shirts. So I was like, oh, I want some gamer t-shirts, because I don't have a lot of gamer t-shirts. So, but a lot of the time, I really am strict. I'm a strict game-aholic. I want the game. If you're giving me any content for the game, like a lot of people now, you know, they're giving you a new avatar, a little avatar toy.
Right.
Or, you know, or a couple months out, here's a code for the first downloadable content.
Right.
You know, like with Alan Wake, they did went and did that. You know, and that's what ties me in. But that's also because I already went through my collector phase through anime and manga, because you kind of have to have that niche going in that case. So for me, a collector's edition isn't all that worthwhile unless there's a furry plushy animal and/or a t-shirt.
You need a plushie
and a t-shirt. Yeah,
and you're in.
And if you want to give me some additional maps, I'm down too. But the minute I see a plushie or a t-shirt, or even like a scarf.
Okay, what about a t-shirt with like half a fluffy half a on the front and one on the back? It looks like it's bursting through your stomach, all like alien.
Oh my god, like that'd be like a cool Viva Pinata alien mix. Actually, and that would actually be a pretty interesting game, I think. No, because you couldn't...
Like a little Viva Pinata on the front and one on the back, and
no,
it says,
it'd be the
I
same,
tapped it.
No, it'd be the same one.
Yeah, on the front and the back,
no,
and they'd be like, you want to tap this?
That would be disturbing to walk through the mall with.
With a little horse's butt?
Yeah, exactly.
A little Horatio?
Yeah, that'd be a little awkward. That would be a little awkward.
Little kids coming up, you can try to smack your pinata open?
Yes. No, especially because it'd probably be, like, right near my boobs, and that would just be a recipe for disaster.
Yep. So, Mommy, use a little pinata.
Yeah, no.
Or ping, 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 ping.
Exactly.
Use it no candy. It's really heavy, though.
Yeah, so no. In that case, no. But I'm not...
That's so inappropriate.
I'm not in that group of fiending for a collector's edition. Like, I have a friend who went and got the StarCraft edition, the collector's edition. And it came in this huge-ass box, and it had an art book, it had the game, it had these really cool collector cards in there. I mean, it had a lot, and the box that it sits in is very decorative. Mm-hmm. Like, at first I thought it was going to be, like, a cheap cardboard boxy thing, and it wasn't going to be very, but I mean, very well made, and everything fits in this box. So you could take the game out, put the box back on its shelf, and it's very pretty. And I'm not a StarCraft player because I'm really sucky at RTS.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hard time with just regular real-time life, so don't give me a game.
I have difficulty in RTL, so...
Exactly. So RTS is completely out of my range. but, I mean, it was... And to him, I mean, he spent the whole day when he got it going through and reading the art book, as in actual literally reading... Overlooking all the... he did everything else before doing the game. So, I mean, you could definitely tell that there are some people who pride the collector's edition as opposed to someone who just said, oh, well, that's all great, but first I want to play this game. So, I mean, it totally depends on the gamer, I think.
Okay, because I would say that every collector's edition I have, I've used the stuff that's in it. But I have before popping the game in, with the exception of the last of the God of War series. Because I got the collector's edition of God of War 3, and I immediately opened up Pandora's Box, I took the game out, I played the game, I finished the game same day, then I went through the little art book that was in there, and then I went and I downloaded the, you know, Ghosts of Sparta behind the scenes look, which I really enjoyed, but I did that after I beat the game. But most of my collector's editions, like the Grand Theft Auto,
I got the collector's edition of that, and I still use the lockbox.
Yep, I use the lockbox too. I never found a use for the license plate, but I do use the lockbox.
Yep, I use the lockbox.
I could probably put the license plate
in
my office.
And the music.
Yep, and I definitely did the music thing.
But those are the only things from that.
You know, the Renegade edition, I've never opened the CD pack for DJ Hero.
Because you probably already had the songs.
I have all the songs. But I never opened it. Other editions, special editions. I did the special edition for Fable 2. All that stuff is in a box. After I went through, Viva Pinata special edition, I still have my crate and my pinata. I've never cracked the pinata open, because I'm not really sure that there's anything inside there. Part of me really wants to crack it open and see if, like, they put a code for something. But I'll be really sad if I crack it open and there's nothing in there. So I've never broken my piñata.
Out there who got the special collector's edition of Viva Piñata, who cracked their piñata, let us know if there was anything in yours.
Yeah, I'd be curious to
spoil know. That for Ninja so that she doesn't go and destroy a perfectly good piñata.
Yeah, because I really don't want to do that unless I have to.
Piñata abuse.
It would be wrong. It's not right. It's really wrong.
You know, I don't like the idea of hitting a piñata. I think you should...
Tap it?
No.
You should say, please, Mr. Pinata, will you shit out candy for me?
No, because I would never want to say shit to a pinata. But in my mystical panda mind, I seriously hope that pinatas are real and alive, and you could just tickle them, and then they would laugh themselves and explode, and that would be the candy.
Oh, so you want to tickle them. You basically want to torture them till they explode.
But they'd be laughing about it.
That makes it okay.
In my mind, yes.
Torture's okay if you're laughing.
If they consent.
How is it torture if they consent?
That's right. So if you say, can I tickle you?
Can I tickle you until you explode?
And then they go, they can say yes or no. And then if they say no, you don't do it. But if they say, yeah, sure. And then they explode and they're happy because you're happy and there's candy.
Really, that's how it works in your mind.
I need to rethink this.
I think you should probably take that plan back to the drawing board.
No, because piñatas are meant to bring happiness to the world, and if that means
gotta explode, so whether it's with a stick or whether it's with them exploding,
what if it was like a happy explosion?
That's a different podcast.
What if it didn't hurt them?
That's a different podcast. Like, how can exploding not hurt you? Yeah, you don't got one for that, do you?
I'm going to table this right now until I figure this out.
Yeah, you got to work it.
Else are we going to get the candy? I don't like
with a stick!
So let's bludgeon them and be mean about it, or be like, look, I really want the candy.
If you do it right, it only takes one whack.
That's what he said.
Oh, I knew you were going to do it.
Anyway, off of the pinatas.
I think you should probably take your pinata theory.
I'm going to table this and...
I think you need to rework it. I think you've got some gaps in your logic.
Or logic's in my gaps.
It could be.
I think it's the second.
There's not a connection someplace that there should be a connection.
I know. I will come back on this.
But bottom line for me is, it just seems like there are only a few companies that are really, really thinking how to make a collector's edition worth the community investing in. Because there are some collector's editions where it's really obvious that they spent a lot of time and a lot of effort really thinking through what was in the collector's edition for it to be meaningful to whoever's paying that extra money to pick it up. And then it seems like there are a bunch of collector's editions that they really are just like, throw something at them with the brand on it. It'll be fine. They'll buy it. And
give them a extra small t-shirt when we know that most people in America are overweight.
Fat. Yeah, let's do that.
Believe it or not, my Siegfried t-shirt wasn't extra large, so they were smart, Capcom.
Yeah, hooray for you, realizing Americans.
Was that Capcom who did SoCal?
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Hey. No. Namco.
Okay. So remember? Good on you.
Namco.
That's right. Good on you, Namco.
I do like Namco.
Yeah. They're so awesome. They made sure that it could be like
Namco
a
Bandai.
They made sure to make it extra large Namco. So it would be at least, Bankai. You know, your PJ t-shirt.
Can't call Bankai because that's from Bleach.
Yeah. It has nothing Banco. To do with Namco or just has the ban from Banco, but not... Never mind.
Banco. Namdai.
Okay, stop eating your gummy bears.
I know. I've had too many. I've had one gummy bear too many. I'm over the gummy bear limit.
Yes, you are. Okay, so.
Ultimately, I dropped the bundled version of Rock Band 3 and just went with the game. I dropped DJ Hero 2 and promised myself that I would get it later, that I would get it before November was out. And I stuck with the pre-orders for Fable 3 and for Assassins because I felt for the extra, you know, $40 that I was paying, I was getting something in the collector's edition rather than the other options.
Right.
You know, I will get the keyboard for Rock Band at some point in time because I really want to see how that plays out. But that'll probably be, in all honesty, a Christmas thing that maybe I ask Santa for because Santa is real.
Shit just got real, too.
And really kind of leave it at that. But, you know, after those games, I'm trying to think, you know, is there any other... And I dropped my pre-order for Kinect. It hurt. It hurt so bad. Because I was so wanting that launch day.
Okay.
But I dropped it.
See, I'm really only fiending for Kinect in a sense of dance...
I want Dance Central bad.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I had done a pre-order of Kinect, and I had added Dance Central, so I dropped Dance Central in the Kinect pre-order.
But don't worry, you'll get it.
Yeah, I know, but it's going to be popular. It may be the beginning of the new year before I get my hands on it. Because that game's going to sell like fucking crack.
So then there are people out there who will have more exposure to dancing before you, but we have natural rhythm. We're good.
Well, that's true. I guess I shouldn't be hating on that.
No.
I guess it's all good.
Yeah.
So I want to hear from you guys. What do you think about the collector's edition stuff? Tell us about some of the collector's edition things that you've purchased, what you felt was worth what you paid for, if you got your money's worth, or what was just complete bullshit. And we'll talk about a couple of them, and we'll read a couple of them, what you send in to us next week on the show, and we'll pick it up from there. It'll be a conversation, but... I had to make some tough choices this week, so it
I didn't.
It was rough. Panda.
So I have some anime to talk about this
anime.
Week. Yes.
Is it prawn?
No.
I'm just asking.
I haven't talked about anything prawnish, like serious prawn, in a while.
I know.
I think it's about time for another one of those podcasts.
It's getting close,
you,
actually.
Which means if we do the counting, watching some. Again.
Oh, darn. Because I know you
hate it. Oh, that's so hard to find. Prawn?
Where do I find
anime prawns?
Hmm.
Well, actually, if anyone has any good suggestions, I really would appreciate them. I haven't seen any a really good one in a while. But anyway.
I saw some etchy last week.
Oh, that mouse? Was that mouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was some shit.
Anyway, but this isn't prawn or
I'll let you borrow my crunchy rolls.
That'd be great, actually. Believe it or not, I read this manga before even seeing the anime. And I borrowed it from a friend, and it's from Clamp. And if you don't know Clamp, then think Clover, Tsubasa Chronicles, Chobits.
All right, let me stop eating gummy bears. I'm good. I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
Thank you.
Yep.
And let me see. Cho. Yes. Like Margaret Cho. Chobits. Chobits.
Of Margaret Cho. What? That would be a different anime series.
Altogether, yeah.
I'd watch it though.
Anyway, so I think Cardcaptor Sakura is by Clamp also.
I think it is. I think Cardcaptor is.
So think of all those. Mm-hmm. And that's the studio that came out of Clamp. And Clamp did this one too called Triple X Holics. Or
is that what it's really called? Because I always wondered, is it called Triple X Holics or is it called XX Holics?
Believe it or not, in the anime series, they just called it Holics, so they don't even mention the three.
That's X's probably because they're not sure. Is it triple? Do we say XXX Holics?
Because if you think XXX Holics, you're like sexaholic.
Yeah, alcoholic. I'll be honest with you. The first time I saw it listed, I was like, "Ooh, anime prawn!" And so I streamed an episode of it. And I was like, "Wait a minute,
isn't prawn?
There's no nakedness."
Granted, Yuka's boobs are extremely big for her body type,
right?
But
so that's why I was still led to believe. But then I got to the last minute, and I'm like, "Wait a minute, the credits are gonna start running."
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, you got me.
Exactly. So they just call it Holics. They don't really call the Triple X, and has nothing to do with prawn or anything like that. And the manga is actually a lot more expansive than the anime was, but that is standard reason with any manga, because mangas can run a lot longer than an anime series
right.
can. And
what happened with Inuyasha, is that they couldn't keep up with animating all the episodes, so they're just like, nope, we got to this point, just read the manga.
So, yeah, exactly. But in the manga, you have this lead character, Watanabe,
mm-hmm.
and he's born on April 1st, and okay. he's very clean cut, you know, he's responsible, but that's because his parents died when he was young.
Uh-huh.
So he's got nobody on the face of the earth to take care of him, so he's really kind of, he's had to mature, which is really kind of funny, because in the anime,
uh-huh.
he's a lot more immature than you'd think. Even though he's obviously living a much more adult life because he's got to take care of himself.
Okay, so he's clean cut.
Yeah, so he's clean cut and, you know, he can take care of himself. He prepares his own meals. He lives on his own because his parents are dead. And it's really funny because in the anime, you know, even
it's
though...
It's funny that his parents are dead?
No, it's just really...
I was going to say.
I'm comparing the manga version
uh-huh.
of the main character to...
The anime.
To the anime.
Gotcha.
Because in the anime, even though he is very responsible, obviously for himself, and is very self-sufficient, he's also still very much, you know, a young man, very immature in his own mind when he's thinking about a particular girl, because there's only one girl that so far in the anime they even mention that he's remotely interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And
in a way that is not platonic.
Exactly. Right? Yes. You know, and he's actually a giant pussy about it. He's just like... And he's all fluid, and it's just like last
like
time
a girl.
Yes, even though he's a dude. So I mean, it the balance is a little off for me personally. But I mean, he has this deep affection for her in the manga. But he has his gushy moments when he's by himself. But they made so many more overt ones in the anime, which mm-hmm. I wasn't used to seeing. But anyway, he's kind of plagued by seeing spirits. Like he can see these dark entities or like spirits just all mm-hmm. the time, and they're attracted to him. So, you know, in the first episode, he's walking down the street, and there's a group of them just following him. And, you know, and he looks kind of detached because he's kind of talking to himself because no one else can see these spirits. So, you know, they're just like, oh, wow, he's a whack job. He's crazy. Don't look at him, Timmy. You know, mm-hmm. crazy guy, don't bother. But you realize he's being plagued, and he wishes to not have to deal with that anymore. Like, he doesn't understand why they're attracted, he doesn't know what their purpose is, and they just make more trouble for him than good.
Okay.
And while he's walking, he's being chased by this group, and he goes down this alleyway, and he finds himself in front of this shop, which is Yuka's wish shop, because she's in the business of granting wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got this big concept of balance. So if you show up at the shop, you have a wish. People don't just show up and she grants a wish and you're done. These are people who truly are wishing for something that they can't control themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they seriously need something to change in their lives. And, you know, she always says that when the people show up, that she has no problem granting wishes, but there has to be a payment equal to what the wish is.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, and they kind of do this in a vignette style, because not every episode has somebody who has a wish.
Okay.
You know, they actually come in very, you know,
sporadic.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and, but anyway, he's the first one, you know, and he doesn't want to see these spirits anymore. He doesn't want to be plagued by these spirits anymore. And it's a big wish. He's been plagued with it since he was a little boy, you know, and Yuka told him, well, look, your wish is really big. I can grant it, but it's really big, which means your payment's going to be really big. And you're like 17 years old in high school. And it's not always money, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, it has been money, but a lot of them, it's always something else. And pretty much she says, in order for me to grant your wish, you're just going to have to work for me. And, you know, you'll work here at the shop. So I thought, oh, he's going to be like a cashier and whatever. No, he's like a manslave. He cooks for her, he buys her booze, he cleans her house, anything she wants him to do.
He's the house boy.
Yeah, to Yuka.
Okay.
You know, and there's kind of this, you know, in the manga I always thought there was this energy between him and Yuka, even though there's obviously a definite age difference. I'd say she's probably in her, I'd say, early 30s, and Clamp has a unique style, so a 30-year-old might look like a really young 20-year-old, but she's a lot taller than he is. They're both really thin, so you really can't go by that either.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so, you know, he pretty much agrees to that. You know, and she's like, well, I'm not going to grant your wish right away. It takes a while. But the longer you stay here, the less and less of them you'll see, essentially. So, of course, he agrees to it until he realizes that he's pretty much going to be, like, a slave. And, I mean, she lays around. You know, she doesn't go anywhere. She's always demanding sake. She's always demanding food. And he can cook. Like, it's a hobby of his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, and he really didn't think about what this meant. And at first he was really hoping that, you know, by the time he walked out of the shop that he wouldn't see these ghosts anymore. But you find out that Yuka's probably got a different agenda for him, which is why the wish will take that long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, so going through that process, you find out that, you know, like I said...
Spoiler alert?
Yeah. All right, so...
Spoiler alert! So Pandalicious, Spoilerlicious is in the building.
So, please, I mean, continue. So he can see spirits, and he's got these two friends. One of them is the girl that he's pretty much in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And this other guy that... It seems like he's just utterly annoyed by this guy's presence. Like, and he actually is done, I believe, by the guy who is Ariyuki in Gravitation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So he's got that monotone voice.
Yeah, I'm digging that.
Mm-hmm. Domaki. Yep. You know, and Domaki's got this blank face, deep voice, very non-responsive. Like, he's kind of a big blank sheet.
Okay.
Like, you know, and Watanabe's really kind of, you know, always yelling at him because he always shows up when Hinamori shows up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he just wants to be with him and, you know, Hinamori, and he always shows up, and she's always more interested in what's going on with Domaki, but, you know, she's never like, oh my god, I love him. Like, she's actually really kind of vapid.
Okay.
I'd say, like, she's just, like, think if you saw Fruits Basket.
Right.
I don't remember what the main girl's name in that was.
I didn't see Fruits Basket.
Okay, well, I have it, but I can't remember her name now, and I should, because I liked her. But she was overly optimistic about everything in that anime.
Mm-hmm.
Just a rundown, she lost her parents, so she was living in a tent until she found these boys that turned into Zodiac characters when opposite sex touched them. That's a totally different anime.
My brain just exploded in my head.
Yeah, that happens with Fruits Basket.
I gotta reset.
But anyway, so you find out, like I said, you know, he can see spirits and he's plagued by them. Domaki, you find out, even though he has had no idea of it, he has such a pure aura that he repels spirits away. Okay. But he has no idea. Like, it's not something he just, oh, and it does. They just don't. So his life to him is very boring because nothing ever happens because they can't touch him. Like, they are oblivious to him. You know, and I think Yuka kind of figures this out. You know, and so pretty much, you know, Watanabe pretty much already has his wish in Domaki. Not that he really wants to accept that.
Right.
He really wants nothing to do with him. He really doesn't. And Hinamori actually has this weird ability, which they don't even discuss in this first season, because I'm assuming they're going to go into second. Because, like I said, it's set in the vignette style, mm-hmm. so there's no set plot.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least there's no resolution by the 24th episode of season one. I don't know if a season two is coming, but, you know, there was a resolution in the manga later on down the road. So, I mean, if they want to do this justice, they're going to have to resolve the fact, does he ever really get his wish? Does he ever stop seeing the spirits completely? Does he ever get with Hinamori? Does, you know, does Domaki fuck off? Like, they don't give you any of that by the end of the first arc. So, I mean, like I said, there's this big concept of balance in this anime, which I really liked and mentally stimulating, you know, and like I said, hopefully a second arc is coming because there's so much more going on in this anime that people should be aware of.
Not to mention the manga to happen in the anime.
Yeah, I'd like to see a lot of it come into the animated form. And that's about it. So, I obviously have it streaming on Netflix.
What don't you stream on Netflix?
Porn. Well, I mean, not. I have nine songs, which I guess is the closest thing to porn.
Yeah, it's porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so never mind. I'm streaming that, too. So, I mean, if you love anime and manga and enriched stories, this would not suck as a gift. And if you have the money, buy it. If you're more of a shonen anime lover, more action, more boys, then this isn't for you unless you like really big boobs, which, I mean, Yuka does, in fact, have.
Okay.
But you don't see anything beyond the cleavage area, really. So, I mean, that's...
It's not fan service.
No.
It's mind service.
Yes. But I really liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Cool. Well, I think that's a good amount of stuff that we talked about this week.
I hope so.
I feel like my wallet's still hurting. But now I want to hurt it more because I want to experience the holics.
Well,
I'll call it the holics because I don't exactly know which.
Well, I have it streaming on my PS3 and my Xbox, so we can totally watch that and it wouldn't hurt your wallet because I'm paying for it.
See, I like the solutions you come up with because...
Sometimes,
Pandalicious.
My mind hole is just awesome. Sometimes.
Your mind hole is awesome. And our website is awesome as well, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use the short address, which is
ESH.co. That's ESH.co. The short address will bounce it in the long one. You can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or even just questions for us, you can email us at mailbag@landofesh.com. If you aren't subscribing to us on iTunes, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Yes, she does. She doesn't mean it like that. But you want to go ahead and get us on your iTunes because that means the moment that we put an episode out on the interwebs for consumption, you will have it. You can listen to us on demand and hear us in all of our glory as the Lord intended. Slightly edited, but only slightly. So make sure that you do that.
And if you don't want to do that, you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine. But also be looking out for the other shows that fly underneath our banner.
Aw, I like how you did the little hand wave thing.
Like a flag.
Yep, banner. Too bad they can't see that because this is...
But they saw audio. But they heard my inflection. Banner! Like it's waving in the wind. Banner! You guys got again. It. No.
Damn it. So while new episodes of our podcast go out on Mondays, and you'll know that when you hit the little subscribe button, on Tuesday you can get a brand new episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade podcast, which is co-hosted by our very own King Baby Duck, as well as some lovable other bastards, where they talk about video games, they talk about music, they talk about movies, they talk about all kinds of stuff, okay? And they're kind of like the flip side, okay? While we have the estrogen, they have the testosterone. What I'm trying to say is...
But not the testosterone to our estrogen.
No, their testosterone
doesn't touch our estrogen
ever. But on Wednesday, we have a new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which is co-hosted, actually now hosted by our boy, Deuces Wild.
And Deuces! If you don't
know about Geek Aggro, you need to fix that because that's some good shit. You should get up on that. And to get you through the rest of the week, well, we have all the stuff that we're doing on Twitter. If you want to follow all of the people that make up the Land of Esh, because there are some that aren't really associated with websites yet, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if you need it all in one easy, easy place, like I said, landofesh.com will give you everything that we do on all the websites, including being able to buy our magazine, because the next issue, the November issue, is getting ready to drop. It's hot, so you want to make sure that you get up on it, because you should ride that. It's a cool ride. It's a wild ride. It's the hotness. Yeah. So I gotta ask you, you got some shit that you dig this week, Panda?
Gummy bears.
Gummy bears are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Gummy bears, bounce it here and there.
Wrong gummy bears, but they're awesome too.
Oh, sorry.
My bad. Gargoyles. Ooh. The animated series. Gargoyles.
Ooh, Gargoyles was the shit. You know what I loved about Gargoyles? It was like basically the cast from Star Trek The Next Generation.
That's a fly. With Macbeth.
Okay.
It was like Macbeth flying animals Star Trek.
Like, it, seriously, it was. I mean, because you had, like, Patrick Stewart did a voice, Jonathan Frakes did a voice, Brent Spiner did a voice, Marina Sirtis did a voice, and I'm pretty sure Gates McFadden did a voice.
I don't know.
So that just really left Will Wheaton and
Wesley
Horn.
Oh,
and
I dig him, too.
LeVar Burton as the only ones that didn't do a voice.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. I think so.
So the black dudes and the kid. I'm not trying to say nothing. I'm just saying. All right. I'm just saying.
So,
And I think it's because they ended it too quick.
But all good things got cut short, though, if you notice. Like, really great.
Yeah!
They cut them short.
Right where it was getting really good, where they were doing all the Avalon things, and then he, like, you know, Goliath had his daughter, and it was... I was like, yes! And they're like, oh, no, it's gone now.
Yep. It was upsetting. Because they all went back to Star Trek for the Next Generation.
They were like, ooh, Trek movie? Gotta go!
More or less. But, so yeah. So, Gargoyles, the animated series, Gummy Bears, Will Wheaton, always a man I dig. Man, I'd love to sing my...
Hey! We're explicit, but we're not that explicit.
Okay. And, believe it or not, the fourth season of The Guild. Really good. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Awesome. That's a respectable list. Like, I got nothing to object and or try to insert some kind of smarmy joke. That's a great shit I dig list.
Thank you. What about yours?
Okay, so I'm gonna have to kick my shit that I dig list off with munchkins.
Any particular flavor munchkin?
Here's the thing. I gotta go with the old school honeydew, all right? You know, you pop it in your mouth, you hit it with just the right amount of coffee, and it's like,
it just
heaven.
Melts in your mouth.
It's just milky, yummy, sugary, awesome.
But every once in a while, I like the thick chocolate cakey
ones. I do like the thick chocolate cakey ones. So, you know, like, if you could make, like, the perfect munchkin, it would be the honeydew on the outside with, like, a middle of the chocolate cakey.
I don't know, because then the honeydew wouldn't... I like how that one melts in your mouth.
I know, but then you would get the chocolate cake just coming up through it, and you'd just be like, oh, chocolate goodness. Chocolate goodness. Chocolate goodness.
I don't know.
Think of the chocolate goodness. We'll come back to that one.
Yeah, we will.
We'll try to
anyway,
design
rest of your list.
The perfect munchkin. But munchkins definitely make the top of the list, okay? Next, as far as shit that I dig goes, I've said it before. I'm going to say it again, but I've only said it on Twitter. I fucking love my Beats headphones. Like, I do. I fucking love them. I dig them. Every time I use them, I'm just like, oh, this is what the hip-hop is supposed to sound like in my head.
It stays in your ears here?
Yes, I have the in-ear tours. I also have a set of studios.
You'll be in your studios?
I will be.
Oh, in your studios?
I will be in my studios. But I absolutely love them, and I'm looking for an excuse, a really good one, to get some of the pros, and I'm just not coming up with it. It's just like, no. Ninja,
you know, you know what?
Put down the credit card.
You want to know what a great excuse would
be? Put down the credit card.
Zombie apocalypse.
No, you don't need Beats for
Yes, you do. When you're killing zombies, you don't need to hear them screaming in your ear. You want to have drain?
No, I want to hear if there's a zombie behind me. I don't want to be like, oh, I'm killing zombies, and there's like a zombie sneaking up behind me, and I can't hear him because I got my beats on. Zombie apocalypse,
so you wouldn't have to worry about it.
That's right, because zombies aren't real.
Zombies are real.
They're not real, and then it's not going to happen.
Should I dig zombies? They're real. Zombies. I'm going to get a shirt that says zombies. They're real. I am, and I'm going to wear it.
You're not, because they're not, and that's that.
And when it happens, don't, when you're being
and
eaten, don't say, well, all you can say,
you know what? Stop that. Let's just finish this out. And the final thing as far as shit that I dig, puppies.
The kind that you kick or the kind that you cuddle?
You never kick a puppy. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Trick question.
It's not a trick. That's fucking abuse. What is wrong with you?
I've never kicked a puppy.
Well, I hope not, because I would have to fucking disown you.
No.
You don't kick puppies, ever.
What if it bites you?
You don't kick it.
Can you nudge it?
No, you say bad puppy. You don't hit, kick, or maim puppies.
But what if you just nudge it like you do that?
No, you don't. You say bad puppy. You don't do that, okay? Now, if we're talking like a big dog, all right, and it's like going to eat you because it's gone all wolf crazy, that's different. But we're talking like a puppy.
Okay.
Okay? Like
any,
a puppy.
All right, so you dig any particular puppies or just puppies in general?
Well, I mean, pretty much puppies in general are pretty much fucking adorable.
What about like those hairless puppies?
Even the hairless puppies. Okay, hairless kitties. All right, this is going to sound so wrong, but cats that are hairless just look fucking freaky. But
did you hear that, guys? Hairless pussy.
Stop it! That's not what I said. But puppies that don't have any hair still look fucking adorable. They just look like wrinkly little pugs.
I love pugs.
This is what I'm saying, okay? But a sphinx just looks like puke with legs. They're just like... It's like, I don't want to touch it. And then it wants to like purr and rub on you like, ooh, you got scabies. You're just like, nope. I understand your cat. Nope. I said no. Make it go away. Make the ugly kitty go away.
Stop it.
But I like puppies. Okay. That's the shit I'm digging this week. A couple of friends of mine ended up getting puppies this week and sent me pictures, and they're like the most adorable things on the planet. So I'm digging puppies right now.
Okay.
So yeah. That's gonna do it for us on this episode of our podcast. I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We're bouncing.